When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our hosts, Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton.
Thank you, Jim. Hey, again for this interview. We're actually again backstage here at the Mabee Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma on our Extraordinary Women Tour. Our theme this year is Mercy and Grace. 8,000 women have packed this place out. God is moving as we knew He would. We're also joined today by a very special friend. He's an incredible man of God. He's a best-selling author, Love Does, Hope Floats, Catching Whimsy, which is the topic of conversation today, but he's also just someone who loves God and who loves people, Mr. Bob Goff. I'm also joined by my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, who will be co-hosting alongside of me today.
And we've got the man who loves to wear that Boston Red Sox hat. What a delight. Bob, thank you for joining us.
Oh, this is a big treat to be with a couple friends.
We get to tag team on you,
this
Bob.
This is good.
That's right.
Tag
team. We're coming at you.
Come on, bring it.
All right, here we go.
I tell you what, Bob. When
intervention.
That's right.
That's what we got.
You have the talking pillow.
We have you in the right place. Yeah. We know that. On the couch.
It's my talking pillow now.
That's right. Bob, you know, when I look at you, I think of the word joy. Right? You're an incredible author. You've written tons of best-selling books. Love Does, Hope Floats, now Catching Whimsy. We're going to dive into those in a little bit. But up front, the last several years have been a tough go on everybody, right? Mental health specifically, we're seeing higher rates of anxiety and depression and addiction and suicidality. But at the same end, I feel like there's this stirring going on. There's this hunger for holiness that's really rampantly spreading across the country. You're someone who ministers to countless people. I just got to hear, what are you seeing and what are you excited and expecting of?
Yeah, I think everybody wants the same things, like love, purpose, connection, a couple authentic relationships. If you're listening, your list might be longer than that, but it ain't going to be shorter. So during a time where there's so much upheaval and there's so much anxiety, kind of bile in the back of people's mouths, to walk into a room and to be just safe. The scriptures are about safe people and safe places doing just extraordinary things. And so I just think about you guys, just be a safe person. I would be Switzerland. You know, give me a bar of chocolate and a bobsled. I just want to do that. But then also, because faith guides my steps, if somebody's listening to this and faith guides yours to say, know the scriptures and some find some just hope and this anticipation about what might be around the corner. I think that's it. I wake up literally thinking about, I wonder what's going to happen today. You know, and I deal with the same heaviness and the heartaches that everybody else does. And yet it hasn't put out this like flicker of the candle of anticipation to say, I wonder what might be happening.
Bob, a few years back, I had a chance to interview Randall Wallace.
Yo, he was a good guy.
It was a moving interview together. I asked him about, you know, Braveheart, Secretariat, all that kind of stuff. And I said, how do you come up with that? I mean, and how did that burn inside of you, that messaging? And he said, Tim, I press into what is aching in the souls of men. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what? That's a word there for a moment. And I reflect on you for a moment. And where did that come from? What's it birthed out of and inside of you? God's given you a unique voice. There's something dialing down in there. I want to look at this mission piece, and then we're going to go in and talk about the man behind all this. Who are you?
Yeah, think about Paul Revere. It's such a great story. Paul Revere was a guy that had an important message. And everybody thinks the message is the British were coming, but it was before the Revolutionary War. So, like, the British were, everybody was British. So it's more compelling to say they're coming than you're here. But he didn't even own a horse. And so he went to church, and he found a deacon who had a fast horse. Isn't that great?
Wow.
So the first thing is find people who have a faster horse than you might be riding. And if you don't have a horse at all, go borrow one. And Paul Revere rode with two friends. He didn't ride all alone. And nobody knows the names of the friends. But the fact is he had an important message. He had a fast horse and he had a couple friends. And so I would say, if we could just figure out what is our message. And the message is that there's hope. And because faith guides our steps, we say that hope is found in Jesus. And for somebody else, they maybe feel somebody that might self-describe themselves as church adjacent. Hmm. Like, you know, they're not in the front row of anything. We were talking a little earlier about the guy at the tire store.
Yes.
Just kind of a fictional guy or gal that just is church adjacent. They're watching what's going on, but they just don't want to get any on them. And I think I want to bring a message to that person. And that gets me out of bed and on my horse each day.
I heard Henry Blackaby also years ago talk about, find out where God's working.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah.
Figure that sauce out, whatever it is, and get there.
Yeah, like,
right?
I'm
get there.
About,
rush there. Run there.
Yeah,
yes.
Gretzky. Like, yes. He doesn't go where the puck was.
Oh,
he goes where it's going.
That's
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And so you can kind of see that in society, where the puck's going.
Yes.
And there's something about just skating in that direction.
Yes.
And a theology based on some pretty sound doctrine, but a theology based on loving people the way Jesus did is pretty good theology. You know, so I've met a couple people that have great doctrine, but not very good theology. Mm-hmm. But I want to have great doctrine or great theology. And loving people Jesus style means showing up, skating to where the puck's going.
And I think that's the mission of us as Christ followers, is not simply doing things for Jesus, but also doing things with Jesus.
Oh, I really
Jesus,
like that message.
Showing up
yeah.
and being there alongside of him, exactly where he is and where he's headed. Bob, for you, I want to get to the heart of the matter, the man behind the mission, the
yeah.
man behind the message. You know, you talk about this anticipation. You talk about this hopeful expectation. That's what I see in you, right? You have a phone. You love God and you love people, right? You're taking all these phone calls. But has it always been like this, Bob? I know you have a background in law. Has it always been
Isn't
this?
That crazy?
We're going to the couch now.
Yeah, yeah. Could you imagine?
We're going to hold him down under the water for a little bit.
Yeah, you got a trial lawyer here. Can you imagine this? Wouldn't that make you want to settle the case? Hi, I'm your lawyer. So, for 25 or 30 years, I was a trial lawyer. And lived in San Diego, worked in Seattle, and I just went up each morning and home for supper. My boys thought that I worked downtown, and indeed I did, just not downtown San Diego. But I didn't want them knowing
right.
Dad's 1,800 miles away during the day. So I did that, but I love that idea of just continuing to say, what's the newest version of ourselves? And a lot of times people will be caught up in their capabilities. So find something that is beyond your capabilities, and it's a sense of calling. So I burned the ships. I went full Cortez on that. I walked into my own law firm on a Thursday, and I quit stuff on Thursdays. I got everybody together. Oh, the receptionist asked me who I was there to see. Actually, that's my name right behind you. And so I got everybody together. It was a Thursday, and I quit. I took the key off my ring and gave it to a guy. Now, that's a stupid...
That's radical.
Stupid economic move, but it's an awesome new creation move. So I think about that idea, no matter where you are, if you're listening to this, take away whatever you're known for, and whatever's left is who you are. So then I wrote a couple books. Take away Bob the Balloon Guy or Bob the Author, and whatever's left is who I am. So just always
Bob, there had to have been some sense of calling, though, in the midst of it. You know,
oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, not random, chaotic thing. There was something wired up down inside of
you. Yeah, doing things not that worked, but things that lasted. And Galatians 5:6 says the only thing that counts is faith expressed in love. And like you, you know, I kept asking Jesus how I could help him out. He's like, I don't need your help.
Bob, who did you encounter? what experiences fed into this thing? Because people don't do things in isolation. You know that? Yeah. They don't.
There's a guy I know back in D.C., and everybody knew this guy. And I would happen to be in his office. When somebody said there was something of his that he liked, that they liked, he would give it to him. And so I'm not much of a clothes horse, as you can see. And I said, oh, that's a nice tie. And before I left, his tie was sitting on my bags. And I'm like, oh, buddy, like, I wouldn't even know how to tie that thing. So I'm in his office. Dick Halverson walks in. He just was retiring as the chaplain for the Senate. And he said, man, I wore this watch every day that I was a chaplain. He took it off. He puts it, gives it to my friend. He said, I want you to have this thing. And he puts it in his hands. And he's like, wow, thanks. He puts it on his wrist. And Dick leaves. Another guy walks in. 5 minutes later, he said, that's a nice watch. And without saying a word, he took it off. And he said, man, I want you to have this. No backstory, no nothing. And that whole idea that we're rivers, we're not reservoirs. And so I was finding, just as I started thinking in the marketplace and capabilities and all that, I want to be more river and less reservoir. So I quit my day job as a lawyer, and I just started doing this next adventure. And I'm so glad that it's an adventure Jesus invites us to, not a business trip, where it's all like choreographed. And the idea is to do things that are lasting. Hungry people, thirsty people, sick people, strange people, naked people, people in jail, widows and orphans. That's the A thing. You don't need like a, you know, God's plan for your life. That's it. Hungry people, thirsty people, sick people, strange people, naked people, people in jail, widows and orphans. So that's what I'm working on. And someday I'll end up in a jar or a snow globe. I haven't decided. I don't know if that's awesome or a little gross. A little of both probably. But what will be lasting won't be all of our accomplishments. I think God takes those and makes
life trashes your trophies.
Yeah, like he makes confetti out of those to celebrate the ones that are hurting and suffering. And so anyway, it's just been a privilege to be adjacent to people who are better at loving people than me. And so that's my goal.
I love it. When I think of you, Bob, this is something we were talking about even over breakfast. You said the word legacy, right? I've always often heard it said that legacy is not something you leave behind for someone. It's something you leave behind in someone. I see you as somebody who deeply cares for others, who wants to walk alongside of the hurting and the broken. Just like you said, you rattled off all those different people groups. You just want to be there. Just as Jesus was present with people, you want to be present with people. I'm interested just in knowing, with sweet Maria, your wife, and your kids and your grandchildren, what's the legacy that Bob Goff wants to leave?
Yeah, well, it sure won't be a bunch of things. We're trying to go like kind of down and to the left on that, or it says, you wouldn't want my car. But there's something really awesome about this, to say what we want to do is rich in experience. Think Acts 2 and 4. They break bread together, so they pound the carbs, and they have things in common. So shared experiences with people, the one we're having right now, the ones we've had before, the one we'll have in the future. I just want a shared experience with people. But it isn't just an experience. I don't want to be on this hedonistic bender or go bro out doing whatever. I want to have meaningful conversations about faith and to say, what do we go do with it? And the thing that stands out in my mind is Jesus never asks anybody to agree. And yet, in our mind, when we agree, we feel like we're doing something. But it's the only thing that I can think of that he never asks anybody to do. He's either do it or don't do it. And like that idea of having kind of a foot in each camp and kind of hedging the bets a little bit. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to work on, just getting to the do, knowing he doesn't want my help. He wants my heart. And there's something beautiful that activates in there. If you run that through that sieve of, is this something that's going to be lasting? Then you have it planned out. And then be super intentional, just as so much of my life, it comes across on the surface as this veneer of confetti and unicorns and all that. But underneath that is a mile of strategy.
Bob, we're backstage, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Maybe Center. Outside, there are 8,000 women out there worshiping God. Places sold out, packed out. You're going to go on stage here in just a few moments. And I wonder what it's like for you to walk up to the stage, up to the podium, up on stage, and look out over the sea of people. And what do you see? And when you begin to think about messaging, and again, it's wiring deep down inside of you, what is it that you are trying to give to them? You know, I think of my dad. I heard a radio announcer describe him one day as a long, cold drink of fresh water.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
You know what? I never forgot that. Just a rural country station, radio station in Pennsylvania, and this guy said something about my dad. I never forgot that. You know that? And I thought, that is my dad. He's kind. He makes you feel like you're the only person in the room. He loves you. You know that? And I never had an encounter. And it, by the way, I never left a conversation with my dad where he didn't want to, quote, pray. He wanted to end that encounter with God and us together.
Yeah, I think what I'll see when I walk out won't be the 8,000 women. I'll see 32,000. I'll see the 8,000 women, the spouses they might have, a couple kids that they might have.
Oh, man.
And the impact that goes out. And the room is a lot fuller than you would imagine.
They're there. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. And these women are going to go and not just agree with Jesus, but actually go back to their homes and impact that. And then the 32 become 64,000 because they have neighbors and really take that to heart, to love God and then to love your neighbor. And then the 64 becomes 100 and whatever. Like that kind of multiplying thing. And so Romans 5, we're going to touch on that the entire universe is up on tiptoes, just waiting to see what will be released in the lives of the sons and daughters. So that idea of living in anticipation, when we start seeing people that way, they'll start seeing themselves like that. Peter didn't feel like a rock when Jesus said he was a rock. He probably felt like a wuss. See, rooster still's going off, you know, but Jesus called it out of him. He just said, I see that rock in you that nobody else sees, you might not even see. So my hope is just hold up a mirror and just say, like, I hope you see what's going on the way that I see what's going on and live in anticipation of what Jesus sees going on.
Bob, you're an encourager. I was reading in Scripture in the book of 1 Timothy, Paul is actually referencing a man, and I was sharing this with somebody just the other day, whose name was Onesiphorus, and his name's only mentioned one time in all of Scripture. But what it says is that this man often left Paul feeling refreshed. It's the only verse in Scripture that is on this guy, Onesiphorus, but to know that he left people feeling refreshed. I'm thinking about your newest book, Catching Whimsy, 365 Days of Possibility. What is at the heart of that message? And what do you want every reader to walk away with upon a year of understanding what hope is and that possibility is a very real thing?
Yeah, I just hope it's a tap on the shoulder. That idea of remember is in the Scriptures 8,670 times. You know, like be not afraid, 365, but the remember part. So tap on the shoulder from a trusted friend to say, remember how it was. Remember how God's shown up in the past. So that's my hope, that they'll walk away, that they'll take a little deeper breath, that they'll go back with a little bit more courage. Acts 4:3, that idea that they saw the courage of Peter and James, and they just, they knew, Peter and John, and they knew they'd been with Jesus. So I want people to be courageous. You know, I don't know if you guys have friends like this, but a friend won't tell you what to do. They'll remind you about who you already are. And so that's, I think that's what the best kind of friends that I have, they're like holding up a mirror to me. They're reminding me.
And what do they say?
Me.
You're the average of the five friends that you spend time with.
Isn't that crazy? And it makes sense.
Bob, at the end of the day, we're made for relationship vertically with God, horizontally with others. Getting that peace right is everything.
Yep.
We've got to get it right. And there's a sense here, and I think there's a warmth about you that makes people feel like you're present.
Yeah.
Okay, and that ministry of presence is so important. And I wish people could understand that it is just the simplicity of a text message, maybe a phone call, or smile at a checkout counter or something. Because people like sucking on dill pickles.
Yeah.
I mean.
Now, I'm not going to be able to get that out of my mind. Ooh, I'm going to be up in front of everybody. I'm going to be thinking about dill pickles. You wrecked everything. Thanks a lot. No, but that's so true. And then, like, love just busting through the door because somebody just cares. And they don't ask, hi, how are you? Because then they're going to get a fine. But they'll ask a question like, what's it feel like to be you right now? And it'd be like, and then say, let me tell you what it feels like to be me. And there's something beautiful that happens. We get to change up, to use your point about the currency. It's just a currency that's much more valuable.
Thoreau said the mass of men live but quiet lives of desperation, something close to that. And stepping into that place is a beautiful thing. I guess as we are pressing toward a time crunch here with our time together, what is it that you wrestle with down in your soul? What keeps you awake at night? What are you working really hard on a personal level? I said, we're going to go there. I wanted to go in there because that stuff matters to me. This is where I move up in a whole different way.
Yeah.
And say, I want to hear that.
Yeah, the thing for me is I would live, if I were to say, what's it feel like to be me right now? I'd say 100% anticipation and about 80% insecurity, which is so crazy because the guy in front you usually think is the most secure person, and they're usually the most insecure person in the room. Yeah. And so what I've been constantly working on in these Adventure with Jesus over 40 years has been, and there was like 26 before that 40. So, but that 40 years of following Christ is just to say, do you accept me the way I am? Like, do you just take me, Bob, with all of his flaws
really
and pickledillos and all that? And so when you ask a question, you say, what is that connected to? And you go to the scene of the crime for little Bobby Goff, and we all have our story. But to roll that forward to say, I actually am accepted. I am loved. But I have to actually pull that up every single day. So I don't let that insecurity be a disability for me. But you got to kind of see it so you can understand it, so you can bring it to Jesus to do something about. And so I'm so grateful for what you guys are doing and helping lead people who help people see it so they can understand it, so they can do something with Jesus about it.
Baba, we love and appreciate about you is that, again, you always show up with the ministry of presence. I think of even Job's friends. Before they started talking, they just sat there quietly, and they wept with Job in some of the most difficult moments of his life. And I think of that of you, right? Sometimes your presence is more important than your perspective. And so, I mean, seriously, from our hearts to you, my friend, thank you for being someone that shows
what
up.
What a breath of fresh air.
I'm just so glad we're in it together. Like, you know, collectively, we make one well-adjusted person. Individually, we're sunk. But all together, we got this thing figured out. And so thanks for what you guys are doing.
Bob Goff, where can our audience go to find out more about you, to pick up a copy of Catching Whimsy?
I think you could probably go to a used bookstore and get one for a nickel. I'm a pretty easy guy to find. Call me up. You know, I'll answer.
That's right. Hey, yes, seriously, call Bob. He will answer. Bob, my friend, thank you so much for joining us.
An honor. Thank you.
Great being with you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.